Curtis. We'll put that out really soon. That's bad news. The good news is that I probably won't be up here long today, and I know that's, you're glad to hear that. But other than that, it's good to see you. It's good to see everybody. Glad you came back. I apologize up front if I'm not what you expect, but I'm so glad that God don't measure us by how big a church is. You know, and that's something. I'm so glad. My faith ain't relying on how big it is. But with that, let me first say I thank God for allowing all us to be here and for me to be here. And, oh, yeah, before I get too far gone, Tony and I are going out for our little Willard rendezvous that we do once a year. Now, they got the car show. They do a 4th of July car show down there, and I hook up my rig, and I go down there, and I judge the car show, and she take admissions. And it's pretty, you know, pretty big thing for Willard. It's real big for Willard. Anyway, y'all pray for us, because I'm trying to decide whether I'll leave out the night or early in the morning, and that's 186 miles down there, pulling my rig and stuff. So keep us in mind in your prayer, because I'm going to tell you, that's the one thing you never get too much of. I need that down there. And listen to me. I love Willard. And there ain't been a time yet that I didn't go down there and they didn't have something that just surprised me. You hear me? So keep that in your prayer, too. I want to thank the church leadership. Again, as I always say, and I always do, we really need to keep the good leadership going. I'm telling you, I come here because I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm making some progress in my walk to heaven. I feel like we're a family. So I love it here, and thank you so much. And I thank God for a leadership that can help orchestrate that and keep it in the right direction. I like my church family. I love y'all. I know you say, well, it's great I don't see you, but until Sunday come around, well, you know, at least I don't have to worry about you jumping through the house and shooting me at night. So, you know, they're good people. So, I thank you for that. And my wife, they put up with it. They support me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Everybody needs to feel wanted and loved sometime or another in their life. They need that. With that being said, my scripture today, or my sermon today, again, like I said, it ain't going to be too long, but it kind of lines up with what Curtis was talking about. As Christians, we need to constantly do what we call self-maintenance, keeping our character together. We need to keep our stuff straight so we can go out and do God's divine mission. We need to bring souls to Christ and forever strive for that goal. We need to look for that. We need to do that. And my supporting scripture will be coming from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 22. It's going to be a long read, but there's a reason for that. And when you get it, if you would please say amen. Okay. Now this is good. Don't get bored with it, because I want you to hear it all the way through. And that's how we do. We need to, you know, and the Bible says, get an understanding. We need to make sure we got what we're getting and you got a full load of it so we can go out there and do what we're supposed to do. It don't just stop right here. So let's go through with it. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happen to them as examples, And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What I am saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I know that's a lot there, but I need to get to that point. Get you to the point. My title today, Straddling the Fence. Straddling the Fence. You say, well, Grady, why do you come up with that? You know, straddling the fence in and of itself is a common term that we use, especially when a person seems like they waver in decisions, waver in positions, waver in what you want someone to be rock solid in. And in straddling the fence, the problem that comes from that is no one is ever really sure exactly which side of the fence you're on. That's important, especially for Christians. And the reason I brought this to us is that, like I said, this is some self-maintenance we can look at. I'm not convicted, but I'm saying, especially me, because coming up young, you know, I didn't refer to myself as a real bad heathen, but I know I wasn't doing all the stuff I was supposed to do. So you know, and you know, you come up to some decisions and you decide one way, and you were doing it because that's your desire, but there are certain things you would say, well, I just ain't doing that. That ain't right. You know, that's kind of like straddling the fence. And people, you know, kind of wonder, well, what is Grady? What is his position? Where you are? Where are you? And it has a lot to do with young people, too, right now, especially right now. So with that, we're going to go through and look at, you know, straddling the fence. And maybe there are some things that we kind of overlook. You know, you can become complacent and overlook some things and get out there on a limb, which is why we need to do, you know, Christian maintenance, maintaining where we're supposed to be. In our Christian walk, we sometimes pull punches on our duties. You know what pulling a punch is, right? That's whenever, you know, the boxers had a term when they're out there sparring with each other. They don't want to put the full power to it. When they got ready to tag him, he kind of let up. He didn't want to hit him hard. In this particular aspect, I'm looking at it for us in the Christian way, is that sometimes when we know somebody doing something wrong, we are, well, I ain't going to say nothing just yet. I don't want to get involved. But you a Christian. Keep that in mind now. We sometimes turn the other cheek on things that we shouldn't be turning the cheek on. You see something going on wrong. Huh? You know something's wrong. You read, you believe, you study the Bible, but you just don't say something. I'm at work. Now, You're saying that your moral beliefs guided you well enough to say that you need to read and study Christ, but here you are confronted with a real life scenario, and you say, well, I'm going to kind of hold on. This is my job. I don't want to cause problems. Are you straddling the fence? Ask yourself now. You've got to ask yourself this stuff. We sometimes ignore what is wrong. We do. I know I do. So when I say I do, I mean, you know, I can look back and say, you know, I've done something, and I see something going on wrong, and I could be out of the story. And I say, you know, I should have said something. The reason this is super important, because as a Christian, I have an obligation to carry myself in a moral manner. You should be able to see the Christ in me without me saying a word. If you believe it, if it's that strong, if that's where we're at with it. I'm not beating anybody in the head, but I like using me. See, I can punch, you know, I can knock myself out, punch drunk. I'm the good example here. Not you, but me. So I can see that I have shortcomings. I have flaws. We need to police it up, because I don't want to send a message to a babe in Christ that I'm straddling the fence. Straddling the fence. We sometimes do not want to be the person that pick a side. Huh? I know sometimes I be at work, when I was at work, and I know y'all get tired of hearing my stuff. I'm just telling you about life scenarios so you can understand this and apply this to your life. If you run into it, you may not run into it, but this is where we at, and we need to understand God's word. This whole thing ain't going to change. It's for us to change. We the one got to change. We got into this by ourselves. So we got to get out of this. So I could be at work sometime, and I have this supervisor, bless his heart. Me and him, we went back, we were E5s together in the United States Army. That's Sergeant, Buck Sergeant. You know, we was at Fort Bragg together. And you know, his name is Harvey Joe Jackson, bless his heart. We retired together and everything. Now he always was 1 year in front of me in rank. Always 1 year in front of me. He didn't mind letting me know. Right. But when it comes to the maintenance and the career of the thing, and I'm not just blowing smoke, I was always the one that was more proficient in the technical reading of the manuals and being able to do the whole nine yards. In other words, I did my job better than he did. So when Harvey got promoted, of course, he 1 year in front of me, he got promoted, he became my supervisor. He did. And Harvey says, Grady, we need to get all the other instructors certified on the MRAP. That's the M. M523, mine resistant ambush protected vehicle. I said, okay. He said, now, we're going to get inspected, and we need to have everything straight in the paperwork. I said, okay. He said, they'll be here tomorrow. I said, Harvey, you in trouble. He said, what you mean? I said, that's a 40-hour block. Now, if you count everything, you don't get but 8 hours a day working. That's a 40-hour block. If he's going to be here tomorrow, you're going to flunk that inspection. He says, no. Come here, man. Let me talk to you. He said, look, I'll give you some comp time. I'll work you out, which I do so and so and so, but we got to have it. I said, Harvey, you need 40 hours to do it. He says, yeah, but what I need you to do is, you know. Now, I know you think this is a joke, but this is true. I said, Harvey, listen to me. I love you. God knows I do. I want you to understand that. And we partners. I thought they need to be trained. These people need training like a hog needs slop. You know, they need training. I says, but if you got them people coming tomorrow, what you need to do is do a MFR, a memorandum for record, telling them that you're not going to pass this inspection. Give it to them. Tell them up front. Because it's a 40-hour block, and you just got a certified teacher. You keep, come on, Grady, man, you're going to, man, they're going to. 4 years passed. We done it. He got, you know, he told him he did the MFR, whatever the case may be. He stayed mad with me a while. Didn't talk to him. Well, it's time for the school to move and go to Virginia, Fort Lee. They're at Fort Lee right now. I wouldn't close the school down. I was the last senior instructor they had. Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Harvey said, Harvey, Still a man. See, the harvest is greater. We got six classes that we got to teach. Six more classes. And the class runs for a whole week. So you're looking at six times five is 30. So there's 30 training days got to be done here. 30 training days what's got to be done. He says, Grady. Now, the colonel is coming down. They're coming down and they want to see the training that we got so we know they don't have to make any up when they get to Fort Lee. Can we just send them from here to their next assignment? That's what he wanted to do. I said, Harvey, I can teach everything but the recovery. They done took all the trucks, so I can't teach. I can't teach how to go out there and flip a truck over and turn it over. They done shipped all that stuff to Fort Lee. He said, Grady? I said, here we go. I said, now, Harvey? He said, I know. I tell you what, I'm going to have a meeting of all the instructors. He said, got all the meeting of instructors in there? And Harvey said, listen to me. He said, Mr. Stanford is one of the best instructors we got in school. He's the only guy that can certify us on everything. We're missing some equipment. He said, the problem, now he's talking to these of me. All of us work for him. He's a CW5, see? And I'm a CW4. Harvey says, we got a problem. Grady is not going to lie for us. And they looked at me and said, what does that mean? Harvey says, you're going to have to either work late and get this stuff in, or you guys are going to have to put that on what we have there. Your evaluation sheet saying you didn't complete. That's what you're going to have to put up there. But Grady is not going to lie for us. The whole class, that whole group looked at me. They did. And my point to this whole thing is that at the end, I felt, now listen to me, I wasn't as close to my Lord and Savior as I am now, but I felt exceedingly good knowing that Harvest, he's not going to lie for me. He's not going to lie for me. Now that job pays good. Every one of those are retired guys, the whole nine, they pay good. But he's not going to, I love that more than I did anything. When it comes to straddling the fence on something that I believe in, where my morals at, where my morals at? I said I'm not going to do it. I got children now. Got grandchildren. And when they do wrong, I had to make sure I don't pull punches on them. Listen to what I'm saying now. I had to make sure I didn't straddle the fence with them. I had to make sure that I didn't turn my head or turn the other cheek when they done wrong. I made sure that, Tony tell you, I said, listen to me. You go out there and do wrong with the police. If you want any indication on what I'm going to do, look at what's right, what the law is. If you get in trouble with the law and come to my house, I'm calling the police. I'm letting you know where I stand. If you want me to support you, you better read the Bible and understand how it goes on. Now, I put this out to him. I don't change on it. And this, the reason why I'm getting to this is because I ain't finished yet. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to hurry up. I'm going to get you on through here. Straddling the fence. I don't want him to see me and my wife as somebody, my kid, to see us as somebody that's wavering and they're playing us against each other. That's a false impression of the world. And what's worse is when it comes to your soul, you got babes in Christ or people that don't know Christ look at you and see you wave. Oh, he ain't no more of a Christian than I am. You understand? Now, making sure you get this. Because this is where we have to make sure we are conducting and carrying ourselves right. This is where we are doing that part that's beyond the threshold of the door. This is where we make that impact on people. Here we go. I had a lot of times when they would come up and say, well, I don't want to judge nobody. I'm talking about my kids now. I said, let me tell you something. I don't tolerate that, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not riding out to the school. I'm not laying in ditches. I'm not jumping from bushes trying to see who you're hanging with. This is what I'm telling you. You go out there and get in that if you want to. I will do everything in my power that the law allow me to do that a parent would do. But I will never support what's wrong. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to straddle the fence for you because you are my child. I have an obligation. And this is the one they hated worse than anything. I'm not charged to be your friend. I'm charged to be your father. That's the one God got me lined up with. I would love to be friends with you. But as I would say, when my time comes and my master asks me, says, Grady, I understand that he done wrong. He got in trouble out there with his friends and he did whatever, whatever it is. But when he come to you for help, what did you do? I want to be able to say, I've done the right thing. If he don't get nothing else, I want to say he done the right thing. So when it comes to straddling the fence, we come here in the church and we talk and we say and we do these things, but we need to make sure that sometimes we don't fall or get come up to, as we say in the military, at ease in the harness. You need to be leaning forward in the foxhole everywhere you are at. Do not fall asleep. You need to be on top of things and making sure that your character, your demeanor, your walk, your Christian abilities are upheld in the right manner, not just one side. You don't walk away or turn your head from any of it. When it comes down to something that you really want, be careful. Be careful. Because we have an inherent desire to want to get the things that we like. Make sure it don't turn into a lust. Don't turn into a god to you. Make sure it don't do that. So you don't sit here straddling the fence. You're going to come here to church. I'm going to tell you, John 3:16, you can run this down, and you got this down here, but you got something going on in front of you that's wrong, and you saying, because I want to get that next promotion, or I want to get that new car, I want to do whatever, I'm going to close my eyes to it this time. Don't do that. What we have to do is make sure that our Christian walk is as plain and blatant and as clear as it can be. The best way to keep somebody from putting you in one of those what we call compromising predicaments is to make sure your position is clearly understood to start with. Amen. The way you do that is you give God yours. You understand that? I tell mine, if you know what I want to do, If you want me to do something and you want to know what I'm going to do, read the Bible, because that's what I'm going to go to first. I thank the good Lord for putting me in enough, giving me enough sense and giving enough grace and mercy to allow me to realize that I need good sense in this world to survive. And I thank the good Lord for giving me enough sense to know that I need to look in the book and go to him for my help. I know that this whole thing going to pass away. Revelation says, Revelation 3:15-16 says, he says, I know what you do. I know that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were cold or hot. 16, so I will spit you out of my mouth because you are only warm and not cold or hot. You understand what that means? I would let, if you're going to, what we said in the military, if you're going to be a dirt bag, be the best dirt bag you can be. Huh? Don't sit there and waver back and forth with. If you want to be a Christian, be the best Christian you can be. Huh? Hold to that Christianity. If you're not, do the other thing. You messing over some other Christian that's really trying to get his life together and turn your soul up too and misrepresenting my Father, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Stand rock solid on where you are. Confirm, get a grip on your beliefs. Learn to incorporate that little self-check every day, all day. Check on yourself. People will try you. And when I say people, that's Satan got them into that. This world ain't set up to use God as a parameter or a reference for them making decisions. It ain't set up that way. So you can, when he comes to you, you can rest assured there is a separate agenda. Don't judge, but let your position be clear. I don't know what's going on. Me and my wife had a talk about one of my children's friend. I said, I don't know what's going on in the house. I'm not going to judge that. I'm going to tell you what's going on in ours. That's what we're going to do. If they need some help, I'm helping. I can't cast them out to the wolves, though, until We teach, we're going to give you face value until you show me something different. That's all I can do. And then I'm going to pray then and ask God to help me, because at that point, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you we're not doing it and why. Conclusion. I told you it's going to be short. I told you it's going to be short. First off, if you don't want to straddle the fence, don't get on the fence. Huh? Don't get on it. I'm clearly waving the fence. Get away from the fence. Don't get on the fence. Let the word of God be your fence if you got one. That's it. If that's what's going to divide us, that's what divides us. And I say that especially when you're dealing with family members. Because sometimes, those are the hardest cases. Be careful. Let your beliefs in God be known. Don't sit here and tell me. I'm trying to get to heaven too. You need to have that arrow. You don't have to convince me of anything. But you certainly have problems if you got folk out there thinking you something other than a Christian. Get your beliefs, your foundation in order. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Everything that we compromise for is going to be stripped away from us at death. Everything. There ain't a soul around here can give you life. Don't let nobody fool you. That's the most valuable. Your soul is the most valuable asset that you got. When you throw that out, it's over. It's a done deal. And the only person that can give you salvation is my Lord and Savior Jesus. That's it. Don't straddle the fence. If you believe that you have problems, sometimes you get overburdened with some of the problems that you got, and you sometimes not the strongest Christian that you should be. If they're not going to church, they don't have any moral values, they don't have anything that's in their conscience and soul that is stopping them from doing immoral things, that's the wrong person to be talking to. That's the wrong person to be talking to. You know, it is one thing to tell a story. It's another thing to witness a story. They're two different things. Huh? I can talk to you about breaking an arm and jumping out of an airplane and going to Iraq. I can talk to you about that. Ain't a soul in here that haven't been can talk to me about that, unless you had it. You can tell me what you think, you suppose, you suggest, but you don't have a continuity, a connection with me on that type of event. That's why God is here. That's why this don't change. That's who you go to. That's who you go to. If you need to redirect, reestablish your moral boundaries, the time to do that is right now. The time to get your stuff together. It's right now. If you sometimes feel that you kind of got strayed off and you probably need to be re-energized with God's word, we ask that you come now as we stand in